Thank you, Jed. Of course, we're going to continue tonight, and I'm going to just say for a few weeks on what we started last week about social media and technology and our use of it. We're looking at principles that should govern our usage of it. And by the way, really, if we didn't have social media, these principles would just apply to how we get along one with another. And so if you say, I don't even have a cell phone, okay? These things still apply to us because they're biblical principles of life. And really, when it comes to technology and social media, it's either going to be good, it's going to be bad, or it's going to be ugly, okay? And I'll just be honest with you, a lot of times it just ends up being ugly, the way people talk to one another. Last week, by way of quick review, we preached from Galatians. We mentioned of how that we have an option. Our options are either we're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to live our life allowing the Spirit of God to bear fruit in our life and push us forward to live biblical principles. Or we're going to live in such a way that we fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, we're going to bear fruit. If we are involved in the flesh, we're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's going to result in bad works. And by the way, that's a constant battle for each and every one of us, is it not? How many times do we want to be nice to somebody, but we're mean? How many times do we want to say or do that right action, and in the heat of the moment, we don't? The thing that I'm saying is, when it comes to our fleshly lust that all of us struggle with, because of the nature of technology and social media, it has found an outlet. It has found a way, or really in a sense, a temptation to express itself in a non-Christian fashion. And of course, on the other hand, if we're walking in the Spirit, we can use it for a spiritual outlet. So something good. We read the verses in Psalm chapter 133, and we're going to get to that in a minute. The whole point I'm trying to make here is just because you use technology or the latest social media app doesn't mean it's okay for you to violate the principles of Scripture or how we socially interact with one another and how we treat one another. And so we're going to look at some principles. We'll look at one more tonight. And for the college kids, I kind of preached a message like this in chapel the other day, and it's a little bit of a refresh, but there's a few other things because it goes so well with this whole subject. Last week, we talked probably about the most important principle we're going to look at. And if you weren't here, I'm not trying to get clicks on our YouTube or whatever, but if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you very strongly to listen to that message, because the first point, if we followed it, we could move on to another subject tonight. And the first principle we looked at was the principle of glory. Whether you therefore you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is a far-reaching principle that is supposed to the tentacles of this principle in our life should touch everything that we do. It honestly should. And if it did, we wouldn't have problems. But it just seems that whenever we get online or whenever we're in technology, it's like we totally forget that we are even Christians. We totally forget that God still expects us to treat each other in a Christian fashion, in a spiritual way. We forget about God, as I said last week, the second we start tapping with our fingers. And that's not how it should be. And one other point that I'll mention and we'll move on. There's one glaring missing element in social media: a leader or an overseer. We have this anonymity when we get behind our screen, and there's nobody there just to kind of help keep us in line. Well, I beg to differ, because if you're a Christian, you do have an overseer. You have the Lord. And everything we do ought to fall under, hey, is this really godly? Is this really what God wants us to do? That's the whole review for tonight. Here's the principle I want to look at tonight. The principle of unity. I'm going to read the verses. I'm going to make some comments about the verses. And then I'm just going to give you some very, very practical things to keep in mind when we interact with each other, particularly on social media and through our use of technology. Psalm chapter 133, verse 1, we saw it. The key is verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a very, very small psalm, one of the smallest. I don't think it is the smallest. That might be Psalm 117. But it's very, very small, but the whole principle that they're trying to teach right there is that last word, unity. If I read this, I kind of think that unity is a big deal to God. And if you have read your Bible, you see that it is. This is something God desires and wants among his people. By the way, David knew what it was like to face division. As soon as he took over the kingdom that God had promised to him, Ishbosheth, Saul's son, decided, no, I'm going to take a part of the kingdom. And so David had to fight that battle. And then later on, after David was the king, his own son, Absalom, split it for a while, and David had to deal with that. And so David knew on both sides what it was like to face division. By the way, even before he was the king, when he was serving Saul, Saul's trying to kill him. Saul was after him and causing division, and him and Jonathan and his dad. And so David knew what it was like, and he knew how very destructive it was. We know that unity is important. In John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus prayed for unity for his people, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. As there was unity in the Trinity, he says that's the kind of unity Christians ought to have amongst themselves so that the world will know that Jesus Christ is real. Unity is taught throughout the epistles. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I won't read all of it. You can write it down and look at it. But he says, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above you all and through all, and for those of you in the South and in y'all. Okay? What does he say? We're one. Everything about our faith and everything about us, it's one. That is unity. He also says unity is a witness to the world that we are Christians. John chapter 13 and verse number 35, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Here it is. Because you carry a Bible? Because you have a lot of beliefs? And I'm okay with carrying a Bible, and I'm okay with a lot of beliefs. But he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The greatest witness of Christianity to this world is the love we have one to another. That's it. And if there's disunity, there's no love. And someone will come into a church, now we don't have it here, but someone comes into a church and they see a church that is ununified. I remember years ago you don't even know what they are anymore, tapes. We didn't just put the messages online, amen? There was no online. If you want to put a message online, you got a cassette tape and taped it online to a piece of string. And we used to do cassettes, and I volunteered to do the cassette ministry. And I would find a couple hours. They gave me the key to the bill. I'd go in there. I'd go to the room. I'd make copies that they were selling. And I got a little nosy, and I started listening to some of their old messages that they had on the masters. They had an old business meeting before they voted our pastor, Pastor Black, in. They had a business meeting. They didn't have a pastor at that time. And I put the business meeting on there. And let me just tell you something. As a new Christian, I was like, what in the world was going on? They were yelling and screaming at each other. People were trying to change the church and do this and do that. It was a total lack of unity at that time. And Brother Black came in and everything got together. But I was like shocked, like, what is going on? And as a new Christian, I'm like, I know one thing. That's not how the church is right now. And that's how it shouldn't have been back then either. That was a bad witness. So unity is a witness to the world through our love that we are Christians. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. If you want to flip there as I'm reading it, have at it. Unity produces discord, which God hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Not that he doesn't, you know, not that he's not okay with it. Not that it's not his ideal. He hates it. You ready? Seven are an abomination. You know what abomination means? To hate intensely. Okay, let's read it. Here they are. There's seven. A proud look. God hates pride. A lying tongue. That's deceit. Hands that shed innocent blood. By the way, it would be nice if our society would figure that one out and start putting people in jail, not let them out. That was free. 18, verse 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Several of them have to deal with the tongue, just being a liar. And then lying as a witness, will you witness about something you saw or about what somebody did? Now, it's in a legal sense. But look at that. He that soweth discord among the brethren. If we say, live, or act, do something in a way that causes discord among Christians, God is not okay with that. God hates it intensely. That was free. Thank you. And then Satan's plan has always been to destroy unity. When sin came into that Garden of Eden, that sin ruined their unity with God. And then he took it a step further to Cain and Abel, and sin ruined the unity in their family. And then if you read about the Corinthian church, sin ruined their unity in the church. And we could see that on and on and on. Look at, as a church, as Christians, we need to go forward in unity. Verse 1 tells us how important it is. Behold how good and pleasant it is. Good means a benefit to our welfare. Pleasant means like a sweet-sounding song or music. To be honest with you, not like the kind of music I used to listen to before I was saved. I didn't like the little bubblegum stuff. But I like music that's harmonious. By the way, I'll throw this out. It's not the message. Like your average CCM garbage. But it's like, you ever hear a song? It's like, and you know, I like orchestration. I like a song that maybe has a you know, the great piano, maybe a violin, and some of these other stringed instruments. I couldn't tell you if my life depended on it. But I know how it just all blends together. And it just sounds so great. And it's soothing. That's what unity is like to God. And it says, he tells us what the ingredients for brethren to dwell together in unity. Look at, do you know if we're saved, we're in the family of God? So what does that make us? If God's all of our fathers, that makes us spiritual siblings, brethren. And look, and I know all of our kids sometimes, you know, they if you have boys that are around the same age, they're going to kind of drop the gloves and go at it and all that. I get it, and it's just part of growing up. But you don't want disharmony in your family. You know, brothers and sisters should be the closest friends they really have, to be honest with you. And after they get married, they kind of connect together and all that. You want that in your family, right? Joseph, I remember Pastor used to have that picture he'd show. Was it you and Tim? And he said that was his favorite picture. Probably the only time in their life that they had their arms around each other and they liked each other. Because I remember when you guys stayed at my house that one time. I think you guys dropped the gloves a couple times. But it's great. That's what God wants. God says that is so, so, so important. And then really you think about it, it's more than just physical family, it's a spiritual family. You know, as a family, we need to get together. Does that mean all of us are always going to be, you know, we're not going to have little disagreements here or there, not disagreements, or sometimes our person in this, and we don't? No, that doesn't mean that. You don't even have that in your marriage all the time. I'm not saying, I don't mean that in a bad way, okay? But I've irritated my wife a lot. She ever irritated you? I'm taking the fifth on that one. Okay, I don't want to sleep on the couch. We irritate each other. And I'm not saying that like we should, okay? But we're human, and we have to get together. And so in a church family, sometimes little things, and instead of dealing with them correct way, we overblow things, and we just lose our unity. Brethren, that should not be. I'm not going to go into it, but he gives some illustrations of unity. He gives the illustration of the ointment that ran down the beard of Aaron and how that was God's anointing in his life. And it showed God's wanting to work and power. By the way, if there's no unity, there is no power in this church. You know what happens in this church? And I think good things happen. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God's favor. Pastor brought that to the forefront years ago, and it's absolutely true. And all I know is this. I just don't want to mess it up. Are you with me? People go, how come your church? How come? What's the secret to what's going on in your church? It's like, if I knew, I don't know. God's deciding to do something here. All I know is I want to write it, and I don't want to mess it up. I want to keep it going. I know one thing that would mess it up. You know, when we don't have unity. We have to be very careful about that. And then look at, he says, there's an injunction there. He says, for there, at the end of verse 3, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even for life evermore. He gives an illustration of the dew of Hermon. The dew that comes overnight on the mount there, and it would seep in, and it would keep the foliage or what's growing there. It would keep it nice and green going forth. He says, there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God commands his blessing, really, if you want to apply it to this, to those who are unified. Very, very, very important. Now, it's 5:53, we're a little bit later. I just want to give you a few things here. The blessing of God is connected to the unity of his people. The favor of God in our church is connected to the unity of his people. You see, people can't be fooled. You can go in and check the temperature of a room. So if we're going to do that, with that as a background, can I make just a few thoughts here about unity and social media? Because social media can be the most... why is our country so divided? You could say because our politicians lie, and they do. It's all the technology. We have censorship in our media. There's only one side that they think is right, and that's all they're going to portray. But they get on there, and they're just going back and forth. Social media, people going back and forth, and they wonder why our country's divided. Well, they're unsaved. They're not looking at things from God's perspective. Should it be like that for Christians? Let me just say a few things. Is that okay? Thanks, Brother Ross. I needed your approval. First of all, getting along with others and having harmony in relationships should be natural for the Christian. It should just be natural. Shouldn't that just be natural? If we're all in the same family, if we all love the same God, if we're all seeking to live the same type of life, if we all have the same Bible, if we all have the same truths, if we all are coming here trying to achieve the same purpose, shouldn't we just naturally be unified? Not that there isn't any problems that we face one with another, but we don't allow it to divide us. It's very important. But here's our problem. We go to social media and air out our relationship issues publicly. Why would we do that? If I get upset at my wife or my wife's upset at me, tell me right now, how does that help for her to go on social media and blast me? How does that help? How would it help? Oh, God, this marriage thing, I don't know about this. How's that helpful? By the way, you may know it is. I'm not going to mention it. There's a famous couple. One of them is an athlete, and people are saying they're having marriage problems, and the wife just went on and put something on social media that made it sound like, yep, there's problems. Can I tell you, how does that help the marriage? It doesn't help one bit. We have an issue with somebody, and the first thing we do is, I got to say how I feel, and we run to social media. That doesn't help the relationship at all. It doesn't. It should just be natural for us to work things out together. Say, is it wrong when I get irritated with somebody? No, we all have our irritations. It's wrong when we don't handle it the right way. It's wrong when we take that thing instead of fixing it or doing what Christians or really adults should do, and we run to social media or we run somewhere else and we blast. We don't bring our problems to social media. It's like I always tell whenever I do marital counseling, it's like, look, if you guys have an issue in your marriage, you don't go run and tell your in-laws. You don't. So let's take, for instance, sorry, George and Joanna just got married. Joanna is irritated at George. By the way, she's not the only one. So Joanna runs home. Mommy, George was mean to me tonight. I cooked a really good meal and all he did was gripe. I can't believe this guy. I know he had a rough day and he's tired. Why would he take it out on me? Then she goes home and there's George with flowers and candy. Sweetheart, I was such a jerk. And she says, amen. And she says, I can't believe I treated you like that. I am so sorry. Honey, I'm not going to do it. Will you forgive me? She says, sure. Can I just tell you something? Mommy didn't get flowers. Mommy didn't get candy. Mommy didn't get an apology, and she still thinks he's a jerk. Okay? You know that's what happens when you run to social media. Okay? That doesn't get blasted out there. The media always says, here's the story. Da-da-da. This guy did this. And then it comes out they didn't do this. They never run a retraction. And people still think that guy is this, that, or the other. So we should be able to get along with people. Here, let me give you another thought. If you have a problem with somebody, the Christian thing to do is not to tell others, it is to work it out with them. Go to them. Well, I'll DM them. Okay, go talk to them personally. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? By the way, can I tell you something? The majority of misunderstandings, if people will talk to each other, do you understand the majority of those go away? Because they both like, oh no, that's not what I was saying. That's not what I meant. I am so sorry. I had someone come to me and I felt there was something there and we were talking about something else. And they said, you know, there was something I'd said or done and they thought I was talking about them. And I'm like, I felt horrible. I'm like, that had nothing to do. I'm so sorry you felt that way. And we worked it out right there. I'm like, man, if you would have told me right away, I would have, that's not, but we talked about it. You understand that? And once we talked it through, it's like, hey, we both understand things. But we don't want to do that. I won't go to that person because they won't listen to me. Have you ever went to them? You know what? When people tell me that a lot of times, they have never actually went to that person. So what do I mean? We go to, going to social media is not going to them directly. It's going to others who have nothing to do with the situation. Nothing. It has nothing to do with them. You know what it is? It's just spreading juice. And it's probably sour juice at that. But what's the Christian thing? Go talk to them. Next. Okay, here we go. There is never any reason to be unkind to someone regardless of what they do. That's a tough one. Because if I said, how many of you have ever had somebody that was unkind to you or something and you reacted to them? I'm not even going to ask you that. Because I don't want to have to raise my hand. I've done it. Right? I was, this one I don't mind. I was, about 4 years ago, I always walk around the block when I'm in my office too long, I need to get the blood flowing. And from this boy's home right here was an adult and a boy, and they had a dog. They were walking, and I'm just walking around the block, you know, and hey, how's it going? And they were smiling, and they walked the dog right up to me, and the dog jumped up and bit my arm. And they're like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not. Your dog bit me. And they're like, oh, and they were, I'm so sorry. I said, you walked him right up to me. And then I thought for a second, like, okay, it's not that bad, and I'm the pastor, and they know, you know, we're right next door neighbors. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. No, I get it. Now, personally, if I would have had pepper spray or something, that dog wouldn't have not been happy. You know what irritated me? That was my favorite shirt. Ripped a hole right in that thing. Now, I had to be nice because they were right there. And I'm like, that's our neighbor. They probably see me walk all the time. And when I walk around the block, I give out tracks. They're like, wait a minute. You're yelling at me. I didn't do it on purpose. Although, I like, why did you walk your dog right up to me? But that's another story. But we react sometimes, and it's like, do we need to react that way? Be very careful. We're supposed to be nice to each somebody. So on social media, we'll go and we're rude, mean-spirited, and borderline hateful to people on social media. We'll go to social media and say something about somebody we would never say to their face. Never. How's that right? You tell me. Yeah, it is the same as going up and saying it to their face, but you wouldn't do that. Well, then why are you going to do it on social media? Because you're hiding behind a keyboard? That makes it right somehow? No, it does not. It's not right. Well, it made me feel better. In the moment, I get it. We all want to say something, man. Boy, I let them have it. I chewed them out. I feel so much better. And then you walk away. It's like, that wasn't Christian. I mean, I felt better at the time, but that's not right. But once you put it out in Cybersville, there are no retractions. Everybody just sees it, and it's like, okay. And then you go talk to the person, hopefully eventually. You threw it out there. Be very careful. Never any reason to be unkind. Here's one that'll help us. You ready? If someone is being critical, quit listening. Quit listening. Someone comes up and says, hey, let me tell you about so-and-so. You know what John Farrell's doing? And I'm like, well, I know a lot of it. Maybe there's a couple things I don't. You know what you say? Say, you know, I don't, but why don't we go talk to John and let's figure this thing out. I wouldn't do that. That's embarrassing. But it's not embarrassing for them to come criticize someone that's not there? You're not going to get their side of the story? No? That's not, you know, in your interest? No. We want to hear the bad, and the first person that speaks is the one that we trust. Could be the other person didn't want to say anything because it wasn't a big deal, and they're trying to be a Christian. Okay, that's not going over very well. By the way, you know what it says when someone will come criticize somebody to you? They don't respect you because they think you're critical and you'll listen to it. So when you hear someone start to say that, if you don't shut them down, they're going to think you're a critic as well. You know what you should do? If you're following someone that's being critical, here's what you do. Quit following them. Walk them. You know, I don't want them to get mad at me for not following them. I would rather have somebody get upset with me for not following them than have them think that I'm okay with that nonsense. I follow like pastors, evangelists. I know there's one guy, he was going off on the brethren, like, you guys are so critical. And he was being critical. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I just said, you know, the little top that says unfollow, click. I don't want that. Why don't they call each other if there's an issue? Even pastors can do that if we're not careful. We choose who we follow on social media. And if we're choosing someone that's nothing but negative and critical, that's not on them, that's on us. We're choosing to listen to that stuff. Next. If someone does not want to be unified with you, and this is just a principle of life, make sure it is because of them and not you. See, let's say that, who can I pick on? Ryan Rawl. I think Ryan Rawl has an issue with me, or something's going on that could have caused a conflict, and I go talk to him like, hey, I want to get this right. And I do what I can with the right conscience to do what's right, and he's like, I really don't care what you say, I don't care. I don't want to fix it. I can walk away from that conversation. I can say, well, you know what? That's fine. I have nothing against you, though. You need anything, come see me. I can walk away from that conversation with a clear conscience, knowing I have nothing against him, and I'll do anything I can to fix the situation. I can't control him. By the way, you in a conflict with two people, you know who you can control? That's it. You can't control anybody else. So just let it go. Do what's yours. I'm not responsible for how they respond. I am responsible for how I respond. And so I'm going to do my best to respond correctly, walking away saying, I did what I could. And it just didn't work out, and that's fine. And if they want to fix it, talk to me later, I'm fine. Someone reacts towards you on social media, you're not going to make a good impression if you try to respond back to it. If someone were, you know, on you on social media, if you can fix it, go ahead. In some cases, if there's a distance there and you can't, just let it go. My wife will know. Somebody, a couple years ago, I'm one of them, that short time I was on Facebook, and I'm like, that's for old people, and I'm not old. And so I went back to MySpace, okay? It's really old. And they didn't like something I said at church. They didn't even go here. And they went on Facebook and blasted me, okay? Somebody very close to us, by the way. And so you know what I did? I didn't do anything. I want to fight with them. And by the way, we're fine with each other. It went away. I don't care. I'm not going to get on. Well, bless God, they got on me. I don't let it go. Okay, it's not going to do anything. Slinging mud at each other in front of everybody. You know what happens? You both look dirty. So let's be very careful. Next, oh boy, now I'm going to meddle. If I can meddle for just a couple minutes, quit talking about others joking about others, and being mean. Start being a Christian. This is never an excuse for saying something hurtful. I was just joking. Not to them. Okay? And we say mean things to people. We put the little pictures and memes or whatever we do, different things. You know, little sidebar things that, you know, maybe not everybody knows who it is, but they know who they are. That's hurtful. That's hurtful. Whatever happened to being a Christian? Aren't we supposed to be, oh, it's a little quiet here. Aren't we supposed to be kind to people? Well, that's just my personality to joke. No, not if you're being hurtful to somebody. That's not Christian. That is not Christian. There's one place anybody, regardless of where they are at on every scale, you know, the growth scale, the Christian scale, the social scale, you name it. Wherever they're at on any scale of life, the one place they ought to come to church and be accepted, the one place they ought to come and be accepted is church. And that doesn't mean you can go to social media and do that stuff. That's just godless. I'll just be honest with you. Well, I was just joking. Sorry. I don't. By the way, what's the purpose about talking bad about somebody online? Let's just go ahead and figure this one out. It's usually to put them down. Now, there's nothing else. It's not edifying. It's to make them look bad. Well, I wasn't trying. Did it make them look bad? Yeah, that's why you did it. There's no other reason. It's to hurt them. You can't say there's another reason. I can't think of any other reason to get online to say something mean to people about somebody. You're trying to make them look wrong, or you're trying to embarrass them for something they did. Hey, let me tell you something. What if you did something embarrassing and every time you did it, someone put it on social media? What if every time you were wrong, someone ran to social media and put that on there for the world to see? What if at that time in your life when you were down and maybe it looked bad for a short time and somebody went to social media and said that? That serves no purpose. We want to fight our battles on social media, and they're not even battles we ought to be fighting. Let's be Christians. There's no other option. There, you tell me a good reason for doing it, and I'll say it's okay. There isn't. And yet we do it over and over and over. And let me just say this, those of you who are younger, all you've grown up with is this generation. So that's all you know, right? And I'm not degrading you or getting on you for that at all. Although, you know, if you're not an adult, you shouldn't have a cell phone or be on social media. So there's that. Free. I still believe that, by the way, just checking in. But that's okay. So all you have seen modeled is that model. Can I just tell you something? There's a better model, and it's this book right here. That's the model we follow, not what society's been doing. Very important. Next, and we're almost done here. It's godless to go on social media and say critical and immature things about others, even in a roundabout way. What is that? Throwing shade, gaslighting, you know, trash dumping, whatever you want to, whatever the new phrase that comes out, that. What is, Ephesians says this, you ready? 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what that's called? The Bible. You know what that's called? Truth. You know what that's called? A principle by which to live our life, online, offline, out of line, no line. That's how we're supposed to live. Personally, my computer, well, you know, they were mean. By the way, sometimes people are mean. But when they're mean, the Bible says, be ye kind. Okay? And I know, I'm with you, it's funner to be mean back. But it's not right. They were very unfeeling towards me. Be ye kind. What's the other one? Tenderhearted. I wonder why they did that. Is there something they're bothered about? I'm not going to let their meanness affect me. They were hurtful. Sometimes people are straight up hurtful, right? Forgiving one another. There you go right there. They were hurtful. Okay, so you forgive them. It doesn't do any good to slam them. They were wrong. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You think you were wrong before? Do you think our sin was wrong? Why did Jesus have to come die? Because we were wrong. They deserve it, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, we want all of the things for God that we are not willing to give to other people. I'll leave it at that. And then here we go, the last one. Public disunity is a horrible testimony. When you treat people like that, and by you say, I don't have social media. I know you do it to them publicly, personally sometimes. When you do that, you are sending a horrible, horrible picture about Christianity. You're more concerned about yourself than how this will affect other Christians and other people who are not Christians. You think an unbeliever looks at that and says, oh, look at these Christians going at it. I want that. They're like, you're no different than what we are. What's the difference here? What people see in your post tells you a lot of things about your Christianity, what you think about Christ, what you think about church, and what you think about Christians. And you're making yourself look bad. Let's just be honest. Now, what's the point? These two principles that we taught, we'll get into some morality and some other things, and we won't be a long time on this. I don't want to belabor it. But these two points, the glory of God and unity among his people, are foundational. Let me give you a couple verses. Matthew chapter number 22. This is the first, Jesus said in verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So it's the very first commandment is love for God. You know what that fixed? That's the glory of God. But daily double. He gave him a second commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. You know what that is? Unity. Now it's loving the unsaved, but it's also unity among his people. You know, if we're saved, you know what we're supposed to do? Love God and love each other. God's glory and unity. I mean, it's in the Bible. We violate these two commands, do we not? Let me read a couple more verses and we're done. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light is now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So if you go online, if you sit here and say, Pastor Myers, I am so glad to be in church. I love my fellow brethren. I love Jesus. I'm going to go to your social media and see if it's true. What's up with all these Christians who are jerks? They're doing this and that and quoting little things. You know what that says right there? You don't love God. Sorry, you don't. You don't. And if I said it, I don't. If you do not love fellow, that's hard. Because in our mind, like, loving God is so easy. He's so wonderful and everything, but Christian, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. All I'm going to say is this. If I were to go and look at all of your posts, would I come back thinking, this person, I doubt if they love God. Or I look at it and say, it is evident they love God. Right? If someone was walking through our hallways, and they walk through their hallways and say, that person, you know, out loud, oh, I just got shade thrown at me by someone in the church. Would you walk through the hallways and say that out loud? You know, Chris gaslit me. These Christians say this stuff here. You wouldn't walk, but you'll throw it online. I'm just trying to get us to think, people. It's not Christian. Say, but Pastor, don't you ever get frustrated with people? Sometimes I wish I was a plumber. Okay, I'm joking. I don't want to be a plumber. But listen, yes. But you know, the Bible tells us how to handle these things. And social media, it's not the place. Unless you're you just don't deal with your issues on social media. Let's be very, very careful. Let's look, if we have issues with, and by the way, we're going to have times we get frustrated with one another. Amen? We're brethren. Let's talk to each other. Let's just get it out in the open and like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. And most of the time, it's just a misunderstanding, isn't it? And if we'll just talk to one another, but let's not run to social media and blow it up and tell this world that what's going on with these Christians? They want to see us unified. They want to see each other shooting each other. Let's stand together this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute.